We haven't seen James Charman. How long has it been since we've seen you?
I don't know, months and months. And,
yeah.
And what was the last scandal? Because essentially you bring me on for scandals.
Scandals.
And new
soccer
seasons.
Scandals?
Yeah. Probably the MLS on? Cup, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys did a great job with the
What
podcast.
Have you been doing during the off-season? You're just like off-season. In your cave?
There's no off-season.
Yeah,
you know it is.
No, yeah.
So that was December.
And then the Premier League was well and truly upon itself in December. So I'm always working. Not very much, but I'm always working.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah. Listen, we're not trying to put you on blast here to the bosses. Like, James doesn't work enough. He could do some things.
He does plenty. No,
but I do love really that we got you in studio for like 1 minute. And we already pulled the classic Canadians talking to British guys. Mm-hmm. Ben's like, do you know this guy from England? And then we started talking about English accents. And
Mark Deeks,
like 5
we had
seconds,
on yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I've lived here for 27 years, but I know every single English person that works in any kind of sporting
I'm not going to take that comment with any sarcasm. I'm going to assume that you are being sincere when you say that you know all the people
from
England.
Oh, yeah, I was being really sincere.
You know what the worst part? The worst part of that is in Canada, whenever you meet someone from the States, it's one of the most offensive things is when someone tells you like, oh, I know someone from Canada. Do you know this?
Yeah.
And we are... Ugh, how dare you? Canada's a big and beautiful place, and how could you think that I just know Steve? Mm-hmm. And then Ben's over here just doing it to you right away.
I just thought you might have heard of him, not because you're from England, but that you've heard of Mark Deeks.
Really?
Anyways,
did you ask our guest before if he knew Mark Deeks from England?
So anyways, the point was that Mark talks about basketball eloquently with an English accent, and it's jarring, right? Like, I kind of remember when Nigel Reed started at Sportsnet 590, the Fan was just the Fan back in the day, and he was reading hockey scores with an English accent. It's jarring. I wonder if it's held you back from doing your true passion, which is
hockey.
It's not your true passion, but you do have hockey opinions.
I do, but they'll never be taken seriously because of the accent. And in fairness, though, there was a time when I first came into this industry a long time ago now, where that used to really annoy me because I loved all sports, and yet obviously I followed and loved my soccer, my rugby, my cricket. Mm. But I also watched a lot of hockey, a lot of baseball, basketball, but I was never taken seriously. I'd never been given a chance in those sports.
That's a shame.
But I've got over it.
It's
fine.
Worked out rather well
I'm
for
fine.
You.
Yeah,
because there's people in the opposite spec. Well, in this continent, I guess it's a little easier, especially with Major League Soccer. But before Major League Soccer was as big an entity as it was, if you didn't have an English accent and you tried to be a force on the Premier League,
it was tough. Yeah, it goes both ways. For sure it does. But now, you know, the American-Canadian accent is quite accepted
in
all things soccer in this continent,
and
obviously.
I guess what I was trying to do also was give you a little hope that Mark Deeks broke through. He's like, he's showing you the path. If you do want to break away from soccer, we don't have to typecast you.
It's funny, I've got a good one of my very best friends, Aaron Murphy, works over there in hockey, ice hockey, but he's a Canadian guy through and through, knew him from Ryerson, and he's done very well for himself in a number of broadcasters doing KHL, British Super League, Swedish League Hockey, was in Pyeongchang doing hockey there as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, use the accent, guys. If you got an accent, you can use it to your advantage.
Listen, we already have the template for that because Greg Brady goes on BBC Radio and they think he knows things about football because he doesn't have a British accent. And he's over there like, oh, Jay Cutler is a good quarterback. And they're like, oh, well, if Greg Brady says it, then it must be true.
Governor.
Exactly. Greg Brady said, and like in England, they're like, this guy knows football. And so over here, we're like, what? No, he's the worst.
Yeah. The accent allows you to get over a lot of mistakes that you make.
Absolutely. So
say what you want. Doesn't matter. You sound authentic.
Who knows if what you're saying is accurate or not?
Yeah. Probably not in most cases.
No.
We give TFC's you a pass. Back.
Yeah, they're back.
They've been back.
Been back for a couple of weeks now, really.
Well, it was hard to take it too seriously when it was Wednesday night. I was watching Leafs game, and again, with producer Dave Cohen and a couple of people, and we're in a bar, and TFC fans were getting ready to go to the game, and I was like, oh, crap, maybe this is already... A lot of people are interested in this, and it was just the diehards because I saw the highlights of the game, and it was very sparse crowd, and it just looks weird to have snow around a soccer pitch. It's just an odd look. It doesn't feel right. It feels way too exhibition-y and way too weird. And then it was like, okay, what is it? Sorry, I always screw this up. It's
CONCACAF Champions League.
Right.
Yeah. So, and they handled Colorado on the road, so yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's fine. But now it's like, okay, here's the regular season. And I wondered a couple of things. One, is this team better than they were last year? Like, did they add pieces that actually make them better? or did they lose something that is going to make them worse? And then two is it good or is it bad that they're back this early? Because it feels like we didn't get enough time to breathe and enough time. I think there is a value in missing something. And
to build hype.
Yeah. And it's coming back and it's across from this Leafs team making a playoff push and this Raptors team that might be better than ever. And it just feels buried yet again in a year where I really thought TFC was going to take off after a title win.
And I think it will be buried for the next few weeks because, as you mentioned, hockey is number one in this market. We know that. And the way the Leafs are playing right now, from a media standpoint, it will be somewhat buried. But the hardcores will be out there on Saturday. It'll be a full house to kick the season off. And to your other question, they're better this year.
That's crazy.
They didn't lose any huge parts. I mean, Steve Bedeshaw was the right back. Very, very good player. Big part of that team. But he leaves. In comes Gregory Van de Wiel, who played in the World Cup final in 2010. Now, I had a rough go of it last couple of years in a couple of leagues, but he was at Paris Saint-Germain for a number of years. He's an excellent player. If he's healthy, if he's happy, he'll be better than Steven Bedeshaw. Simple as that. There's more depth to the team this year. They lost some players through retirement in Cheru, who retired. But overall, I think it's a better team. There's less pressure this season, let's be honest. I mean, after losing in the final 2 years ago and spending all the money they had to win last year, they did that. Now they can really enjoy themselves and also focus on the Champions League, which is very important to this franchise.
That's what I wanted to get to next, because we see that in England sometimes, right, where a team's a little more focused on the Champions League than the league, especially in a year like this where City's going to run away with the league. It's over for everybody. That Toronto FC has its domestic title, that they would look to be that first MLS club to really break through in the CONCACAF Champions League. How much of a focus will that be for this team?
A huge focus. I mean, listen, this team, this franchise, they want to establish themselves as a perennial champion domestically, and then also for the first time add a Champions League crown to the cabinet for the first time in MLS history for an MLS club. Now, they're fortunate because the Champions League's early in the season. It's right now. So they can focus
already
on
throw
that.
Around.
Yeah, exactly. So they can focus on that and say they do rest some players for that, and they drop some points domestically early in the season, so what? They can recoup those points quite easily, and they will do as the season progresses in MLS. So they're built, they've got depth for competing on more than just the one front. And, you know, they might not win the Champions League this year. It's going to be a real battle. There's some very good Mexican teams
Tigres?
Yeah, who are outstanding.
Okay.
That's going to be a real challenge for them. Not saying they can't do it, but a real battle. A much tougher task to win that than MLS this year, I think.
Okay.
What's going to be the bigger story this year? Whether this is going to be Michael Bradley's last season in Toronto or trying to repeat as champions?
Oh, I think the championship run will be a bigger story. I mean, they handled the Bradley situation very well.
Wait, you think that's
he's
done?
Really happy here. I think he's... I don't know.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing. He loves it here. He lives here in the off-season. His family's happy here as well. He's in a great situation. And sure, his dad is in charge of the new LA team, which are a very ambitious team, and maybe one day he ends up there. But I don't know, would you want to play for your dad?
No.
I wouldn't. No, I want to beat my dad.
Yeah.
On a regular basis, right?
No.
I mean, that's a big pressure, right, playing for your old man, on both sides too.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about nepotism, you know, how do you drop your kid? So I haven't heard rumors recently about that so much, and I know Bradley, he's the face of the franchise. He is the face, as much as Sebastian Giovinco is the, you know, the sexy name and is wonderful, and Jose Aldo does what he does.
Oh,
the face of this team is
Jose's
Michael
never going
Bradley.
Anywhere. Though,
I was
going
to say.
So he says.
No, but I really, because I feel like after this year, and especially the way that Jose's been treated south of the border and just the success he's had in Toronto, that he's set up to be one of those guys. We've had this conversation before where it's like he's almost got the, not to a lesser degree, of course,
Joe Carter.
Joe Carter. Yeah, he gets to be like 20 years after he retires, Jose Altidore is showing up at functions and banquets and people are taking pictures.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think he is kind of the face of this franchise. But you disagree?
No, I think Bradley is, for sure.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think
he dictates the play in the field. He's the guy who's first in front of the cameras after matches. He's the guy with the captain's armband. Mm-hmm. He's arguably the most important player on that team.
So what did you think of Jovinko's season a year ago, though, too, right? Like, there is some discussion about, because he was arguably the best player that league has ever seen 2 years ago. Less so last year. He's still a very valuable player, really damn good, and it's the guy you'd first want to pick on to take a free kick. But where is his form?
It was a good season last year. It wasn't obviously as good as perhaps his previous seasons individually. I think injuries were a big part of that. Very truncated season in many regards. But when he had to play, he played really well in the playoffs. He was brilliant. And so far this season, in the two games against the Rapids, I thought he was outstanding as well. He's hungry. He's enjoying life here as well. I think there's no concern about Giovinco's form and what he might do this season, none whatsoever.
So how long does this run last then? If they're better this year than they were a season ago, and they were like the best team in the history of the league.
As long as they want to spend money, right? And they still spend more than any other club, and they keep doing that, they're going to be successful. And speaking to the president, Bill Manning, he says, our goal is to be a contender every single season. Now, in modern sports, you can't win every year. He knows that. But if you put yourself in the playoffs every year, there's a good chance you'll win a few of them. And that's the goal. Establish this club, this franchise, as the go-to club for MLS. And I don't see why they can't do it.
Yeah, that's actually what I've been thinking about a little bit with TFC as we're rounding into the season here, is because you mentioned them being able to attract certain players and being able to get better. And I do wonder if they are becoming just a marquee landing point for international players that would like to play here. Because if I'm looking at it, I'm saying, okay, you have some of the league's best players. You now have a track record where the fan base is huge and you watch these games on television, and or if you see any of it. Like, I know Victor Vázquez last year after winning, that was probably a little over the top, where he was saying, this is the best place I've ever played.
You played at Barcelona.
Yeah, I was like, okay, just settle down.
He played one game at Barcelona.
But he did seem to enjoy it. And Toronto already has like a great international profile as a city. I think that if you were looking at it and saying, hey, do you want to go play in Orlando or Toronto? This isn't the NBA where you're recruiting most of your players from the States. This is an international game, and Toronto's an incredible international city.
It's a draw, and they pay the players relative to their ability. And Vázquez is interesting. You mentioned him because he could be a guy that might leave next year. Mm. And they brought this new kid in, Akecha, who's young. He's the same kind of player as Vázquez and is apparently extremely, extremely talented. Looked pretty good when he came on off the bench against the Rapids as well. And is he the replacement for Vázquez when he leaves eventually? So they're planning ahead all the time. And I think you speak to any pro that comes to Toronto just to visit, and they'll say this is a professional setup, that the training facility is world class. It's as good as any you'll find in Europe. Simple as that. You get 28,000 fans a game. There's less pressure to play here than perhaps in Europe. So yeah, absolutely. I saw a good stat too on Twitter yesterday. I forget who it was. Out of the last 31 designated players signed in MLS, I think two have been over 30. So that whole retirement league is now done. That's not happening. Sure, you get the odd old guy from Europe. You know, Ibra might come at some point. We see Schweinsteiger in Chicago. That will happen to a certain degree. But more and more, you're seeing these clubs aiming for younger players from South America, maybe not household names, but guys that can grow in this league. So with them, the league's going
to
grow as well.
That's crazy. If you would have pitched me that as an over-under where I would have had to bet and you would have given me a number,
way
I would have, oh, God.
And I think TFC set that, you know, gauntlet, given that they signed Giovinco as he approached his prime in his late 20s, not as a washed-up player. You're seeing a lot of the guys coming over this offseason, guys you haven't heard of, and they're young guys from South America, 18, 19 years of age, getting those big contracts because they are the real deal.
Yeah, it's fun. Kind of wish we had a little more time to soak it in this offseason because there isn't one.
Yep.
And season opener on Saturday at BMO Field against Columbus. Oh, the Trillium Cup. Didn't we teach you about the Trillium Cup
you
last
did, actually,
time?
Yeah, it's a flower.
Yeah. Thanks, James.
That was last time, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was Columbus. Fun. That's right. I did not know that.
Yeah, James Sharman.
I've forgotten all about it, actually.
I know. Yeah, well, you're welcome for the refresher.